with the main chip. Watch, it's real talk. Main is real talk with your main chip Washington. When it comes to information, the main got an arsenal. Bring you up to speed with what you need. He's the local and nationwide news feed. Let's talk about it. Dialect to do something about it. Chip got the flow wide open if you got questions about it. Main, it's the show that brings you to your raw. To solve all problems, it starts with real talk.
Real talk.
And here we go. Here we go on this Monday evening in the city. Boy, it is messy out there. If you are traveling, please, please, please be careful and take your time getting to where you need to be because this rain is here with us now and it's going to be here now for the next few hours. Some heavy rains, the possibility of thunderstorms, winds, and some gusts in excess of 30 to 40 plus miles an hour this evening. So, yeah, this is a very dangerous situation out here. So please, please, please be careful on your travels this evening. The best course of action for all of you would be to, you know, be in a nice, comfortable place right now with your mobile device or your phone or whatever it is you're, you know, you catch this fine piece of radio broadcasting on and just sit quietly now for the next and just settle in for the next hour. We have a good show for you planned this evening. We hope that you can stick with us for the entire hour. I am your humble host. My name is Chip Washington. Great to be here. Thank Lord for getting me down here safe and sound. Of course, you heard Lola right before our show. And of course, she made it safely as well. But it's a mess out there for real. Bren hadn't got here yet. He is battling traffic, as I'm sure many folks are this evening. Before we get started, of course, how do you get this fine piece of radio broadcasting? Once again, many, many ways. Right now, we're on the FM dial of your radio. That would be 91.7 on your FM dial. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app. Just put WYXR in the search, and we should pop up. We are also live streaming tonight on Facebook Live. So if that is your preferred way of catching us, you can always go there and see us as well. And when the show posts in the next day or two, you will be able to find us on YouTube if that is your thing. And as we are a podcast, you will be able to find us wherever it is you get your podcast. So again, we're very happy, you know, to have you with us this evening. Those of you who have chosen to join us, we really appreciate it. We do have a good show for you tonight. We think so anyway. First up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be speaking with a young man who's doing big things in this city. His name is K. Darrell Cowan, and he is the founder and executive director of Heal 901. Many of you have heard of this organization dedicated solely to the youth of our city. And he is going to talk to us about some of the program initiatives that they have and the success that they're having during this complicated time with many of our young people out in the city. A bit later on, we're going to be speaking with someone who is handling something, doing something these days that we just don't see. Many of you have probably never seen it, but there have been TV shows that showed doctors making house calls. Anybody remember when doctors used to actually make house calls? There used to be a show called on TV called Marcus Welby, MD. And he was a doctor that actually made house calls back in the day. Well, anyway, we're going to be speaking with a young lady by the name of Angela Owens, who has a medical house call service. And I want to talk with her about that whole concept of it. And it's based on, of course, the folks who are elderly and who are have a difficult time trying to get around to doctor's appointments and things like that. And a bit later on in the broadcast, We have our old friend. We haven't talked to him in a while, but there is a lot going on in our city. I don't think that's an understatement. But our very good friend will break it down for us this evening. He is Otis Sanford, and he will join us in the second half hour of the broadcast. He's a journalist. He's a columnist. He's an author. And he's a commentator and all of that kind of stuff. But he'll be with us to share some of his thoughts and views on everything happening in the city of Memphis. Thankfully, Brent is here with us this evening. He just made it in, and we're thankful that all of us were able to get here safe this evening. Now, each and every time, right around this time, we talk about you. We celebrate you. Many folks out there celebrating birthdays in the month of March. If you had a birthday this past weekend or today or this week, this is your segment. This is where we give you the premium shout out. You know, you can get shout outs from other people in other places, but you can only get the premium shout out from this show right here. But we can't do that unless I say, hit it, Brand. Several birthdays to call out on this Monday. Sheila Hager Whaley, my longtime friend, television videographer extraordinaire. Happy birthday to you, Sheila. Marcus Friday, rodeo announcer extraordinaire. It is his birthday today. Happy birthday, Marcus. Happy birthdays also to Flo Thomas, to Trinita Williams, Laquise Gigi Crawford celebrating a birthday today, as is Leslie Reeves Forbes, Nedra Owens Reddit. See all these three names that are going on here? All back to back to back to back. Happy birthday to Brenda Woods, Florence Thomas, Bill McElwain, and a very happy birthday to Martha Benson. And what would this show be without a birthday shout out from Lola? Lola?
There is a lot of these birthday people.
Yes.
It's a lot of them. Happy birthday to Deshaun Wingfield. Happy birthday to Miss Paula Rayford. Yes, of Paula Rayford's Disco, if you didn't know.
The Disco Queen.
And happy birthday to my good friend Leonard Harry.
Happy birthday. Lola had a trifecta going today as well. So listen, happy birthday to each and every one of you out there. I hope that this day has been filled with love and laughter. And, of course, we would love to be back with you next year to celebrate your next trip around the sun. Be careful, be safe, and enjoy. Thanks, Bryn. All right, so some news and notes and some breaking news late this afternoon, which was kind of sad to see, but kind of interesting at the same time. Many of you are familiar with Sean Puffy Combs, Diddy, I guess that's what he calls himself these days. Well, the feds raided his homes, law enforcement in Los Angeles, California, where he has a mansion, and also in Florida. They raided his house today. They went in with guns drawn. They were clearly cued into something, looking for something. They pulled out a couple of folks in the home in Los Angeles, and those two individuals happened to be two of Diddy's sons. They looked like they were handcuffed as well. Now, of course, all of this is being handled out of the Southern District of New York, which has been investigating Diddy for a while now. And this appears to be tied to some sex trafficking allegations that Diddy has been under for recent months, the last several months with different plaintiffs. So this is a really bad situation here. And, you know, we don't know anything yet. We don't know what the raid yielded in either property, but I'm sure we will find out. But when the feds and Homeland Security come knocking on your door and they have guns, pulled out and ready for some action, they know something and they've seen something and they're going to investigate something. So we'll keep a close eye on what is happening with Diddy and these charges with these raids today. Very interesting stuff. So last time we were together, it was on the eve of Kyle Rittenhouse coming to the city of Memphis to speak at the University of Memphis about Second Amendment rights. And of course, what he quoted was the lies involving BLM or Black Lives Matter. Well, a lot of folks, of course, were not happy with his appearance here. He did come on stage, according to the folks inside, because the press wasn't allowed inside. There were about 40 or 50 people in that room. As soon as he started to talk, they drowned him out. They booed him. They heckled him the whole nine yards. And normally he does this spiel, I guess, for the first few minutes of his presentation, and then he goes to Q&A. Well, he went directly to Q&A, and one of the protesters, one of the individuals who was not happy to see him, asked him, about several issues pertaining to racial disturbances in this country, and asked him, quote unquote, don't you think that this is kind of racist speak? And he said he didn't know anything about that. And after he said that, the boos got so loud, he decided to take himself and his dog off stage right and leave the facility pretty quickly. So much ado about nothing. You know, he shouldn't have been here in the first place. But that, again, is his constitutional right. The University of Memphis didn't have anything to do with that, but they couldn't keep him from speaking. Well, the students did, and he didn't speak long. So we move on to another day and another story. South Haven police have been all day trying to find two suspects who were holed up in a South Haven warehouse. This was after, of course, a car chase. They were, these two individuals were being chased by police, and then they shot at officers as well. That wasn't a good thing to do. They found them later on. It's been some hours now since this happened this morning, and they found them this afternoon in this abandoned warehouse, and they finally talked them out. No injuries involved in any of these circumstances. there was a man, many of you probably heard about this, there was a shootout on Friday at the Cordova Walmart store, where an individual apparently who was a former employee of that store who had previously been fired just a few hours beforehand got into a disagreement with a woman at the front of the store. Well, a patron, good Samaritan, decided to get into the middle of all of that and tried to break it up, the whole nine yards. Well, he got shot four times by the suspect for his trouble. And he was with his family. He was with his son and he was with his brother. He is in critical condition still at the hospital. The suspect has been caught and arrested. His name is Tamarius Hopkins, and he is in the Shelby County Jail with a bond set at $500,000. So once again, more foolishness happening in our city. Now, speaking of something good in reference to all of this, congratulations to the city of Memphis. We did have a couple of disturbances downtown over the weekend, but there were thousands of people here for the NCAA basketball tournament that ended here last night. Judging by what I saw on the news and some of the interviews, people had a great time. They weren't thwarted by anything. They weren't concerned about anything. So kudos to the city. Kudos to law enforcement and all those who kept all these folks safe coming into our city and provided a nice economic boost to the city of Memphis. That is our quick wrap on news and notes this evening. We'll get into the broadcast. What do you say? It just looks really, I'm looking outside. I can see outside the door right now. You can see the wind blowing. The rain is kind of falling sideways the whole nine yards. So you guys really be careful out there. Seriously. We'll take a first break. When we come back, let's get into the broadcast on this rainy Monday evening. This is Real Talk Memphis. I am Chip. You know who you are, as always. We'll take a quick one, and we'll be right back.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
Calling all musicians. singers, producers, managers, music students, and music fans. WYXR's Meeting in the Middle seminar is back on March 27th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Scheit Family Performing Arts Center at the University of Memphis.
Join us for an evening where we meet in the middle, bridging the gap between industry professionals and passionate fans. Explore the diverse spectrum of Memphis music and discover new connections.
Hear from industry experts, including Contemporary Media's Anna Traverse, Unapologetic Kid's Kid Maestro, singer Taliba Safia, and WYXR's very own Liv Cohen and Jazzy Lo McRaven.
RSVP to attend at middle.wyxr.org.
Hey, I'm Will from Crosstown Brewing Company. We support WYXR 91.7 FM. A favorite beer is just like a favorite song. We feel something new every time we encounter them. Cheers to playing the hits and tasting the notes.
Programming on WYXR is brought to you by a grant from Arts Memphis, who has been working behind the scenes for 60 years to grow the foundation of Memphis arts.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to Real Talk Memphis on this rainy Monday evening in the city. Chip with you, and glad to be here, and glad to have you out there as well. Now, my first guest is a young man who has a passion. His passion is for our young folks. We all know that these days, you know, a lot of them out there, not all, but there are some who are headed down the wrong path. Let's just say it like that. Making things a bit challenging for all of us here in the city that we love, and trying to figure out exactly the what and the how and the why in all of this. Well, my next guest has dedicated his life, I would say, to this. He is the executive director. Well, he's the founder and the executive director of an organization many of us are familiar with called HEAL 901. He is Darrell Cowan, and my friend, it is great to see you. It is great. Now, you know, he's so busy. You know, I thought I was gonna have to wait about a month to get him, but today was a good day. But Darrell, it's great to see you, my friend. Thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate you.
My brother Washington, Chip, it's a pleasure to be in here with you. Shout out to everybody over there at WYXR 91.7. Wonderful station. If you're not listening, you're missing out. And we've been having some fun today.
Absolutely, my friend. Thank you so much for that. And so listen, I guess I need to start at the beginning. What was it that inspired you in 2018, I believe it was, to create an organization like HEAL 901?
It was taking my own personal pain and turning it into power. Tragically, my uncle was murdered in Richmond, Virginia, in 2010 by the hands of the Richmond County Sheriff Deputy. And in a city, in single-parent homes, an uncle is more than an uncle. He's sometimes our first immediate father figure. Now, my dad was in my life, but my uncle was just always just right there, readily available. And losing him had a dire impact on me. And when I saw that, I just immediately started helping every young man that I could with anything that they needed, be it jobs, pampers, whatever you need, man, anything to keep you out your streets, I was willing to help. And on 2014, my kindness was taken for a weakness, and a young man that I know was actually robbed, and he asked me to drop him off somewhere, and he ended up seeing that gentleman there and actually killed him. And from there, I was charged with first-degree murder. So understanding how predatory prosecution and other things work in the city of Memphis, it was just for me, in my moment of going through mental health hospitals myself, on how do you do everything right, and because I'm this nice-sized black guy, this ball, sometimes you perceive a certain way, and I can't control that. So I just immediately, in my moment of psychosis, it was just, what do you do? How do you bounce back from this? And it was just immediately, I'm going to go heal my city. I'm going to heal Memphis. I'm going to heal 901. I'm going to make it a better place for future generations where other children don't have to deal with the things I've dealt with.
Wow, that's really stunning, and yet that you were charged. So, I mean, you kind of understand this from the psychology of this from the inside out, no doubt about that. I haven't gone through that. So, you know, we're at a place now, Darrell, that's troubling for so many of us who care so much about our young folks, because they are our future. These are our guiding lights, and, you know, and one day they're going to be taking over. When you see what you see, when you hear what you hear, and I know you have a very close connection with these young folks, what are some of the things that they're telling you that are troubling them today?
Lack of resources is always going to come up. Economics, having money. But also, when you listen to them and talk to them, it's a lot of personal pain, generational pain.
Mm.
These children are dealing with things that have been swept under rugs for probably generations, and now as they're navigating through life, trying to figure it out. Like, how do the things that I've learned growing up don't apply to real world, but this is all I know. It's hard to separate that. And sometimes we also got to look at how we talk to our children. You know, you can't tell a young man that, or a young lady, hey, you're going to end up just like your uncle. You're going to end up just like this person, dead in jail and things of that nature. You actually have put yourself in a position to where you spoke over a person's life. So now, even if they did have other dreams and aspirations, if I'm looking at you and I trust you and your judgment, and this is what you think of me, why should I strive to be anything else? Like, wow. If this is already how I'm going to be perceived, like, why would I work hard at anything else? Mm-hmm. I'm going to be good at what you just told me I'm going to do. Go to jail and die.
Wow. You know, there's a saying that I have heard. I've talked to so many people about this. And you mentioned it right at the top. A lot of these young people, what they are doing is crying out for love. They want to be loved, man, and they want somebody to pay attention to them. And this is why I'm so proud of the efforts that you have made and so many others, because you're trying to reach them where they are. A lot of us want to talk from up here, you know, on this high platform, talking down, instead of being direct and focused in looking at a young person, getting down on their level and finding out what they're all about. Am I correct in that?
Most definitely. What we're looking at, listen, guys, these are just bigger babies. So the temper tantrums are just bigger.
Mm.
I have a three, 4, and 5-year-old at home. When I'm talking to these 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, man, I see so much resemblance of my children in these adults. They're still young. They're still developing. The studies have shown your brain doesn't fully develop until the age of 26.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're big babies, and they're having a temper tantrum. And there's an African proverb, if the children do not feel the love of a city, they will burn it down to feel its warmth.
Wow, that's pretty heavy duty. So you know, how do we change the narrative, Darrell? What are some of the things in your organization that you do with the young folks who are involved with Heal 901?
I never approach any young person without first of all apologize. That's the first thing. You got to apologize that we just now come. Apologize that we just now listen. Apologize that someone is just now being intentional with hearing you. That's first.
Mm.
And the programs that we offer, from coaching boys into men, which is a program that is proven to curb sexual assault, domestic violence. Understand that domestic violence is the largest reported crime in Shelby County. We also have athletes as leaders. That's the female component to coaching boys into men.
Mm-hmm.
And due to my adaptations to coaching boys into men, I'm not just one who utilizes the program. I'm actually on the advisory council for this program. So I made sure for my adaptations to make sure that black and brown children are now included when these programs are developed. Sometimes we're looking at programs and trying to see if it fit our babies. If our babies weren't in mind when the program was created, you're trying to put a square peg into a round hole. Mm. So just making sure that I'm intentional with everything that I do. And nobody leaves, especially when I work closely with the younger men. I can't tell the young lady how to be a lady.
Right.
We got ladies who do that here. But for me, I never leave a session without telling a young man I love him. Not love, bro. I say I love you, and I look them dead in their eyes, and I let them know, I love you. I need you. The future needs you. And if you ever need me, you can always reach out.
When you do that, how do they take you? I mean, when you say that, you know, I'm sure you probably get a certain type of look, like really, or I mean, what was that? Excuse me. I mean, how do they? I mean, that has to. you've been doing this a while, so that has to really kind of impact you too. I mean, when you see that and you use those words, "I love you," and I'm dead serious about it. I'm looking you dead in your eye to tell you I love you. That someone hears that and the reaction of it.
Well, we got to understand the reason why. Most young men, the first person they learn to hate is their father, because that's who they're looking for love from. Mm. And sometimes you hear so many negative things about an individual who you never met that it makes you have a hatred for somebody. Then on top of that, it's easy for young men to kill young men when I've never heard "I love you" from a man. What man is telling our young men "I love you"?
Yeah.
So if that's my original pain of looking for somebody who I can't never find or don't have a relationship with, what they say, looking for love in all the wrong places, that's what we used to say, right?
Right.
It's the same thing. It's just we have more guns that are readily available in our communities now, that what would normally be fist fights is now automatically turning into gun battles.
Yeah, and we're losing so many of our young folks to this gun violence and this unnecessary violence. It is. I've used the term. It's sort of a genocide of our own people. I mean, and, you know, if this keeps up, you know, we're not going to have a next generation, Darrell, to teach and to raise and to cultivate. You know, you have three young babies, you know, yourself, and I would think that when you go to bed at night and you think about your focus, you know, in this world, why God has placed you in the position that He places you with, and you look at your family, you know, what types of thoughts go through your mind?
I had to have a real conversation at home, and I have to have this conversation frequently. Dad is not here to prepare you for the world. It's my job to prepare the world for you. Mm. I know what we're teaching. I know what you're being taught at home. But the things, if I'm teaching in here, if it doesn't mimic the things that your peers are learning, you're going to be in a dangerous place. You remember when your mama told you, "Hey, if somebody hits you, turn your other cheek"?
Yes.
Well, how many cheeks you got to turn? See, mama, the information is good, but in all honesty, what is the ramification of me turning my cheek?
Right.
Now I'm getting bullied all the time.
Right.
And that leads to something else. So when you're looking at it, sometimes the things we tell, does it really match society and reality? And is there something we all can do, Brother Washington? Most definitely. Most definitely. We all can play a part in making this difference. Mm-hmm. I had a conversation on Saturday, and one of the things I said on Saturday was this. Can't nobody in Memphis, Shelby County, complained about the Satanic Church being at Chimney Rock or whatever school they was at.
Right.
You can't complain. Mm. Why? We got over 4,000 churches in Memphis. We have over 15,000 nonprofits. There shouldn't have been space for them to come in your school, because we should have already been in the school. Mm. So we're doing a lot of talk. We're talking at church. We're talking around the water cooler at work. We're talking in the bed when we lay down. But if your talk don't lead to action, what are we really doing?
It sounds to me like in the conversations that you have with so many, you know, the people, the community leaders and folks in this community, that you're telling the truth. But I guess my question to you is, do they want to hear the truth that you're telling?
People didn't want to hear Jesus neither, right? Mm. See, I've come to the realization of this. Darrell going to have to die anyway. The moment I was born, the closer I start getting to death, every moment, every second, right?
Yes, sir.
But the one thing I do have the obligation of and ability to deal with is how I die and what I die standing on. And this is where I'm standing. And I tell my people all the time, sometimes you have to understand that the life that you live, nobody's going to respect you until the day that you did, and they're going to appreciate everything you were doing. And I'm cool with that. It's about the lives that I'm impacting on a daily basis. I respect all politicians on both sides of the aisle, but at the end of the day, my focus is the children, and letting them know how important they are. I don't think we're aware that 18 to 24, only 204 individuals between the age of 18 and 24 voted in our last Shelby County election.
Right, right.
Between the ages of 25 and 39, only 2,000. We got a problem, guys. Our children are not even involved in the civic process to be able to talk to nobody about the laws and how they're affecting them.
You know, we're on Facebook Live right now, Darrell, and one of the folks said, "Say that again, louder for the people in the back." But see, you know, a lot of people don't want to hear the truth, and this is why having people like you in this community, and having like people like you not afraid to stand up and tell anybody anywhere anytime, look, you know what? Stop focusing the problem on these kids. We're the problem, and we need to do better as grown folks trying to teach these young folks. Look at you. I see some agreement there. Am I preaching to the choir?
I have to say this. Our children need us.
Yes, sir.
They need us. Mm-hmm. They're waiting on you. They're not afraid. We're afraid of them. They're not afraid of us. They crying out for us to come. We just refuse to. And when people ask about what's going on in the streets, respective of anyone's party, any elected official I talk to, they'll tell you, Darrell is a Demopublican. I'm a Demopublican. I'm going to work across both sides of the aisle. I'm not going to join the gang.
Right.
And the reason I say that is the largest gang in America is the Republicans and Democrats. Mm. If you're a Republican, you hate Democrats. You're a Democrat, you hate Republicans. And truth of the matter is, both sides have more similarities than differences. The truth of the matter is, if our but if some of our elected officials are not working together for the greater good of Memphis mm-hmm. and Shelby County, mm-hmm. and they are fighting each other, what else you expect in the streets? I just want to ask. Maybe I'm the one who uses too much common sense, but if our elected officials and everybody else, city council, I mean, if our governments is not getting together to work together for the greater good of us all, what do you expect in the streets? Mm.
I'm just sitting here and I'm processing and I'm thinking about everything you're saying, and all that comes to my mind is just amen, amen, and amen. And I so respect what you do, and I so commend you for doing it, and everybody in this city, and everybody should pay attention to this. If you're not catching this live right now, you can go back later and watch it on my page, and we're a podcast. You need to hear this interview, and you need to hear the passion this young man has for our young people, because he's telling the truth. Darrell, thank you so much, man, for coming on the show tonight. I really appreciate having you, and I promise you this. Anytime you want to come back, you and I are in touch with each other now. Anything you want to say, anything, any initiative you want to launch, we're here for you, and I promise you that. I'm here for you. I absolutely mean that.
Most definitely, Brother Washington. I gratefully appreciate it, and I know you're serious from our conversation that we had offline.
Yes, sir.
I understand your passion, and I know you've been doing this for a while, so speaking with truth and integrity is something that you do, so there was no hesitation. Moving stuff around for you is no problem, but I'm continuously working with all of our elected officials, both sides of the aisle. I love them all, and we're working aggressively, but there's so much more to do. And if we're not bringing up another generation to be able to keep these mantles going and light these torches that we're lighting right now,
yeah,
we're going to lose, and that's what I can't afford.
Amen. Darrell Cowan, founder and executive director of Heal 901. Thank you, my friend, for coming on the show tonight. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. Y'all live blessed.
Absolutely. You as well. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how you start a broadcast off. Darrell Cowan doing the work. He's not just talking the talk, he's walking the walk. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue with this broadcast on this Monday evening. Rainy evening in the city. I hope you're being careful out there if you're driving around out there, and get home safely this evening. This is Real Talk Memphis. I'm Chip. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page, and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
Coming to the Orpheum Theater Friday and Saturday, March 29th and 30th, AEG presents the Rough and Rowdy Ways Tour featuring Bob Dylan. Performances begin at 8 p.m. each night. Ticket information for the Bob Dylan Rough and Rowdy Ways Tour at bobdylan.com.
I'm Patrick Tamburino, host of the Technostrategist podcast. Join me as we navigate the ever-evolving world of IT managed services and beyond. We'll explore everything from selecting the ideal tech partner to the forefront of cutting-edge technologies, all infused with my own unique perspective and hopefully a touch of humor. Don't forget to tune in to the Technostrategist on the WYXR Podcast Network. For more information, head over to wyxr.org.
DJ Alpha Whiskey, host of Flight Risk, and you're listening to WYXR 91.7 FM. As a nonprofit community radio station, we rely on the generosity of donors like you to keep your favorite programming on the airwaves. Become a contributing listener today at WYXR.org/donate.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to the big broadcast on this Monday evening. Chip with you, and I ask a question at the top of the show. Does anybody around here remember a time when, way back when doctors actually made house calls? I mean, does anybody remember that? I asked a couple of people, older folks over the weekend, and they both looked at me like I had like three heads, like, huh, what? But anyway, like they had never heard of that. Well, I have someone here, and I'm happy to just to speak with her this evening, who actually has a medical house call service. Her name is Angela Owens, and Angela joins us now. And Angela, it's great to see you. Point of reference, point of note, you and I are church members. We both attend Fullview Missionary Baptist Church in Bartlett, Tennessee. And it is good to see you, pastored by our leader, the Bishop, Jonathan McReynolds.
Exactly. Good to see you. Good to be here.
Absolutely that. So first of all, tell me a little bit about the concept of this whole house call situation. I think it is obviously very unique and different in today's society, but you're doing it for people who have some difficulties in some areas. Talk a little bit about that.
Exactly. So I'm a nurse practitioner, and so yes, we make house calls to patients that per Medicare consider the patients to be homebound. Okay. Not that they can't get out, but of course, they see their primary care doctor more than they do their specialty doctor. So it's more difficult. Sometimes patients that have more difficulties or is more taxing for them, whether they are bedridden, they have to travel by stretcher, wheelchair, walker, they have oxygen, and it's just a lot on them to try to get to the primary care doctor's office. So I go into the home to see them, to you know, offer them, afford them that primary care. And the goal is basically to keep them out of the hospital, because these patients are a lot more sicker, if I will say, or critical. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the goal is to keep them at home, so you know they don't have to be in the hospital as much.
Well, that's an angel's heart, as far as I'm concerned. That really is a quite a wonderful thing, because, I mean, we don't see that, you know. We know costs are astronomically high, you know, and the exactly. medical thing, and you have to go to the brick and mortar. I mean, I know that, you know, that many of us, all of us do that. But it's just a unique perspective to find someone that actually cares enough to actually want to be able to understand that. For many people who are elderly, who are handicapped, who may even, like you said, be critically ill, to actually exactly. get up and go to a facility is a very, very big deal. I've had my elderly parents and elderly family members, and having to take them back and forth, you know, for them was cumbersome. You know, for me it was cumbersome, but for them it was more cumbersome as well. So, you know, really the whole idea of this is very different, isn't it? And now, do you know of any other places here in our city or county or anywhere that actually offer services like the kind that you provide?
Sure. There are other colleagues of mine, nurse practitioners, I'm glad to say. And there is a physician group, and they've been around forever and a day, a long time. But it is very rare. It is something that has started coming back, I would say, probably in the last 20 years to accommodate patients. But there are a few other providers in the city, not a lot, but there are some that do totally house calls, and then there are some providers that do a mixture of.
Okay, kind of a combination of both. Come in and exactly. You know, the brick and mortar and the other. You say 20 years. How long have you been doing this?
I've actually been doing it now. It'll be 3 years this year. Uh-huh. I've been doing the house call 3 years, but and it's been a challenge, you know, because when you go into the homes, it's smaller spaces and you don't have everything you need, but you work with what you have. But yes, we've been doing it for 3 years now.
And overall, even though there have, as you said, been challenges, you know, depending on the particular individual, I would imagine there's something very rewarding about all of this for you, I would say.
It is. The reward is, especially with new patients or my established patients, The thing that I get the most is we really appreciate you. It's really hard for us to get out of the house, you know, and even in my primary care practice and seeing patients, I collaborate with some other providers that they don't go to the home, but they may see the patient, do a televisit or something like that. But the reward that I get out of it is that I'm doing my ministry in health and healing. That's what I get.
I was going to say, yeah, what you're doing is absolutely a ministry, you know, to be able to help so many people who can't help themselves or find difficulty being able to do that.
Right.
Pastor's checking us out on Facebook Live, and he said a very much needed service, and he's 100% right about that. So
yes, it is.
But
it
you
is.
Do have, but you do do work. You have a brick and mortar, right? You have a medical facility that you work at too. Am I correct in that?
I do. I currently work for one of the medical groups here, but we getting ready to open our own brick and mortar. But I do, yes.
Well, see, you know, and is that just part of just the kind of the world in which you work, you know, in terms of the, you know, being a physician, you know, you're a nurse practitioner. Is that a part of it? You're actually launching, and this will be your own facility. Am I correct in that? Is that what I'm understanding? I want to make sure I got that right.
Yes, you're correct. Yes, okay. It will be my own. My husband and I, we are branching out, and, you know, I mentioned doing a dual. But the main thing is I will continue to do the ministry of the house call. But we're just moving towards, because we do have patients, their family members and other people. And when I work for the other companies here in Memphis, they ask, do you have a practice? Do you see patients? So I thought about it and I've decided, to start seeing patients in brick and mortar also. So, but yeah, the house call is my love, to be quite honest, but either way, brick and mortar, house call, I'm still doing what I'm called to do.
You are an angel. This is a ministry, and you know, bless you for doing what you're doing. You know, tell your husband I said hi, by the way. But but you know, when you and I talked about this, you know, a few weeks ago, and you brought this to my attention, I started to think about the whole concept of this. Well, this is something that we just don't see or hear, you know, right. And we don't really know about it. Well, congratulations to you for what you do, you know, and for your heart and for the caring for so many other people. Really glad you came on the show tonight, and you know, just proud to be associated, you know, with you as a fellow congregant, you know, pastor's always talking about us getting out and you know, reaching and exactly. Helping far beyond walls, and that's what you're doing. Congratulations to you. Thank you, Angela. I really appreciate you being on the show tonight, and best of luck to you and your husband and your business as you're moving forward. Okay.
Thank you, Chip. My pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was my pleasure. Angela Owens, ladies and gentlemen, still doing that house call thing, even though, you know, they've got their own business. They're about to launch that as well. But you know, she still believes in the personal touch. That's a wonderful thing. Let's take our final break of the broadcast. And when we come back, we're going to shift gears and talk a little bit about what is happening in our city. And there's only one person I go to get those answers. His name is Otis Sanford, and he is on deck. This is Real Talk Memphis. I'm Chip. Don't go away.
If If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
Church House Memphis Plan continues its decades-long commitment to serving local musicians with comprehensive health care and also tailors its focus to small business owners and the self-employed. Health care through the Memphis Plan provides care in Memphis for Memphians. Related services include preventative health, optometry, dental care, and more. More information regarding availability at memphisplan.org or at 901-272-PLAN.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to Real Talk Memphis on this Monday evening. Glad to have you with us and glad to have my next guest with us. There are a few people in this city with the pedigree and the background that my next guest has. But what I like about him the best is he is never afraid to give an honest opinion about what is happening in our city. And he is so well respected. People just sit back and listen. He is Otis Sanford, and my friend, it is great to see you. I haven't had a chance to say Happy New Year to you, but how are you doing?
How you doing? I'm doing well, Chip. How are you? Great to be with you.
Man, it's always great to have you, and I'm doing well as well. Thank you. So listen, Otis, to say we're living in some interesting times in our city is an understatement. I believe the last time we talked, it was before the mayoral election. I think it was the last time we talked.
Has it been that long?
It's been a minute.
Maybe so.
It's been a minute, yeah.
I'm a busy guy.
Yes, you are. You're still a busy guy. Columnist, yeah. Commentator, author, yeah, all that kind of all that stuff. And, you know, the whole nine yards, journalist, the whole nine. But, you know, as you survey the landscape of our city, and I've heard you many times, ABC 24, you know, doing your thing on your show on the weekends there, what's your assessment of where things are, where we are, and, you know, the things that are happening out here?
Well, I mean, obviously, to give a good assessment, you have to break it down into two or three areas. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of our economy, I think we're doing okay, just not great. You know, the job market is, again, okay. Mm-hmm. When we talk about public safety, which is what most people talk about, it's still a troubling time for us. I think the biggest concern that people have is with juvenile crime and kids stealing cars and smashing grabs. And now we're talking about shootings in highly public places like a Walmart. Mm-hmm. That's a problem politically. I think that the new mayor, and you're right, the last time we talked may have been when just before Mayor Young got elected. Right. I think he's doing a good job in trying to tackle some of the issues that the city has, starting with public safety. And then finally, our relationship with the state could use some help because we have a huge disconnect with state legislative leaders, including those who are from here in Shelby County.
That right there, my friend, is one of the things that troubles me the most. This disconnect, as you so aptly put it, between the folks in Nashville and here, the overreach by basically erasing the ordinances that were passed by our city council in our city, by our legislators, you know, and for the will of our people, have been, I mean, basically been just wiped away. And what bothers me the most about that and other things that I've seen, just like Mark White wanting to appoint six new members to the Shelby County School Board when we have nine elected members, but he wants to appoint six more because he's not happy with what's going on. What is this all about? I mean, there's been tension between Shelby County and what happens up in that state house for a while now. But how do you assess all of this, what we're seeing these days?
I think when you take out the local legislators, you mentioned Mark White, there's also Brent Taylor,
yes,
there's
sir.
Also John Gillespie.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about other people who don't live here, they don't really care that much about Memphis. And that, I hate to say this, but it starts with the governor and comes on down. They put up a show that they care about Memphis, but they don't really care about Memphis. And then when you add in the local legislators, you know, they are trying to be forceful and heavy-handed on some things. I think Brent Taylor has overstepped in a lot of instances. He claims that he's looking out for the people with who are concerned about public safety, but he should not be meddling. Neither he nor John Gillespie should not be meddling in what the city council does. I think the saving grace might be here, Chip, that even though the legislature has passed this law that nullifies those city ordinances,
right,
it is still up to the police department and the police director,
mm-hmm,
interim police director now, C.J. Davis, to set their own policies about what they're going to do out on the roadways, law, state law and no law. And I'm hoping that that happens.
You know, it just it seems to me like, you know, every time we try to take a step forward around here, you know, something happens to push us back two steps. And, you know, the legislative action is kind of one of those things. Now, I want to talk a little bit about and get your take on the interim police chief. You go from being the police chief to an interim police chief. Clearly, the city council has some issues with her. Clearly, the general public has some issues with her because I'm sure they were blowing up their representatives' ears before they even made that vote in the first place. And it was contentious. And the mayor even would tell you it's contentious. You have any thoughts about how any of this is gonna shake out in the end for her and for us as a city?
Honestly, well, how it's going to shake out with her, I'm not sure that I know. I think the mayor made a wise decision here to just sort of pause the situation, not fight it, and put the interim tag on her and hopefully have some time for her to try to win the hearts and minds of the city council. And maybe she'll be able to do that over the next several months. But I'm not totally sure that she'll be able to do that. And so we'll have to see what happens, say, in 5 or 6 months from now. I think the city council had a lot of the city council members had a strong issue with her.
Oh, yes.
In terms of I used to hear this a lot when I was covering the courts, Chip, truth and veracity. She didn't. If you don't have truth and veracity, your reputation is going to be shot.
Yeah.
And a lot of city council members didn't think she was telling the whole truth about a lot of different things. So that's where she is. I do think it was wise to pause it and put the interim tag if she was willing to do that and give her a chance to prove that she is up to the job.
One of the things that we know that has come from this particular situation is clearly there is a disconnect between her as the leader and the rank and file. The mayor went to talk to them, you know, privately and got an earful from them about, you know, now we don't. So if the people that are supposed to work for you, you know, don't respect you as a leader, how can you effectively lead anything or anyone?
Well, that's a good point. And I think that's an issue that she has to deal with. But, you know, as you mentioned earlier, I've been around here a long time. And there have been police directors, police leaders who the rank and file, you know, did not like. Buddy Chapman was a really effective police director, but a lot of rank and file members didn't like him.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been some others. So it's not unusual for the rank and file to believe, well, I'll just outlast whoever the director is. And if I don't like them, I don't like them. But she does have to address that. She has to understand that she is only good as the people who work for her and under her. And she needs to address that issue.
You know, you and I talked off air before, when I was trying to get you to join me tonight. And one of the things that I was really surprised about is about a week or two ago, where we had not too far back here, we had like 12, 13, 14, 15 shootings, literally in like a 24-hour period, and with several deaths involved in that. And I would have thought at some point or another, we would have seen our chief of police stand in front of a camera and at least say something to the general public who is clearly mistrustful and afraid of what is happening out here on these streets.
Yeah, I cannot dispute the fact that she does not do enough communicating with the public. That has been a longstanding issue here with her. Mm. Now, it's not her fault, or probably not even the police department as a whole's fault, that we have a bunch of people out here with guns shooting each other.
Sure.
But we do expect her to understand the gravity of it and to communicate regularly about what the police department, what the city is doing to try to deal with this, and how we are trying to work as hard as we can to catch those who are committing the crimes. There just needs to be more communication, Chip, between her and the public. The media is clamoring for that.
Yeah.
She just does not do enough of it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely that. Man, as always, I just appreciate you, because, you give us the truth. And you don't do it. You don't scream. You don't holler. You just deliver the truth in a very kind of a direct and focused way. And that is why, in an honest way, really, which is what I respect about you so much. And I thank you for coming on the show tonight. I know, how busy you still are, even though you've left University of Memphis, kind of, sort of. But, you're still doing your thing out there. but thank you, my friend, for taking some time to come on the show tonight. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Well, sure, Chip. Thank you for having me. And I'm always good, happy to talk to your listeners.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you. Have a good evening. All right. I'll talk to you down the road, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that puts a wrap on another edition of Real Talk Memphis. I hope that you got something out of it as Bryn plays us out of here. And I'm going to try to get out of here. All of us are going to try to get out of here and brave this weather. And hopefully we'll all get home safely. I'll be sending texts to each of them. So, Bryn, you'd be expecting a text. Lola, be expecting one as well. Making sure my folks get home okay. But listen, thank you for being here. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for consistently inspiring me. And if you like what we have done on this broadcast or what we're doing, please go out and tell somebody. Can't make a difference if nobody knows we're here. So for all of us, for Lola, for Bryn, for Nicole, and for yours truly, Chip, have a great week. Please be safe. Please be careful. Until next time. And until next time, we are out. See you soon.